always a beautiful day in here. It doesn't have to be outside, it's a beautiful day.
Right.
A beautiful day inside. It's gray, it's kind of misty, rainy outside, but today is a beautiful day.
It is.
In our heart. And we got the word of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He is in love and good. Amen. We are prosperous.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to get prosperous, we are prosperous. We just have to get our prosperity down here to where we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
Our prosperity is with him in heaven. That's right. So we're fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's a good day. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
And it's a celebration time. It's Christmas time.
It is.
We can thank God about Jesus. I saw a sign on the way here at church. I'm sure y'all didn't see it, but it said, manger, the first king-size bed.
Wow. God, that's awesome.
Wow, that's good. I like that. Candace is going to sing us a neat song.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's get into the spirit. Okay. Raise our hands and give him praise. Thank him for everything. Sing with me, you know it. All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift up your hands, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. Never grow dim.
Y'all more involved in things. How do we get our inheritance? How indeed do we get our inheritance? Well, we go into the promised land. We can do like Joshua. We can march around the city. Right? All the enemies that came against them, they used sticks and stones and spears and swords, right? But Joshua goes in and he just marches. He used silence. And at the end, he used a shout, right? Then there was Jehoshaphat. How'd he do it?
Praised.
He just went in praising, didn't he?
Yep.
He said, they don't need to do anything else because the battle's already been won. The Lord's already fought the battle. He says, I don't have to do anything, so I'll just go in and praise him, right? Yeah. So... And let's see, David danced, Daniel prayed, right? But we're in the New Testament. What do we do? What do we do? Well, let's look and see what we do. I got three things that we can do to get our inheritance. Jesus advised us, he says, be persistent,
yeah.
Right? He said, ask and it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that ask is like, it's an ongoing thing. Ask and keep on asking. In the Greek, if you get into it, it says it's an ongoing action. It's not just a do this, it's an ongoing thing. So ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. So he says the same thing three times, right? That must be important. It says the same thing three times, right? Seek, ask, knock, it's all the same thing, right? So it must be important for him to say it three times, right?
Yeah.
But what if he says it six times? Well, that's what he does in the next verse, right? For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone, to the one who knocks, it will be open. He says it six times. That must be pretty important, right? But then he gives a parable. For each one of these, if you remember, we've talked about that. A parable for asking, a parable for seeking, a parable for finding. Right? Remember that? The guy who knocks at the door, right? To him who knocks. Remember, he kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking at midnight, and his neighbor gave him some bread so he could feed his visitor. Right? Why? Because he kept knocking. Right? Seeking? What about that? You remember that parable? About the lady who lost a coin? And she kept doing what? Seeking until she found it, right? Well, I'll let y'all come up with asking. I'm not going to give you everything. Come on. So God himself gives us an example of how to seek diligently and not give up until we receive what we seek. All right? So in Luke 15:4, he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Until he finds it. How long is he going to search for it?
Until he finds it. He's going to see it through.
When does he quit?
After he finds it.
After he finds it, right? All right, that's it. Okay, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently? Diligently, when? Until when? Until she finds it. When does she quit? After she's found it, right? She's in equipment before she finds it. I don't know. This is amazing, right? Have you ever, I'm sure you have. Sometimes you have a child that comes to you and says, Dad, I can't find my blank. Whatever it is, just fill in the blank. And you say, oh, come on now. Well, no, it's gone. It's just, I can't find it at all, So you go into their room or wherever, supposedly it belongs. And in just a half a minute or so, you find it. You pick up something that they just didn't pick up, or look behind something they just didn't bother looking behind. Is it? Maybe you do like me. You just leave it there, and you come back and say, "Go back and look again, because you haven't looked yet." you'll find it if you look, but you haven't looked yet. Well, I did look. No, we'll go look again. Yeah, because if you look, you'll find it. You got to move some things around. You got to do something. You got to be what? Diligent, right? You got to uncover some things, and all that. You can't just look around the room. I can't find it, You got to really seek after it, right? You got to search for it. Well, God in these verses, He's seeking. He's diligently seeking, continually seeking, right? Doesn't give up. He's seeking the sinner who is lost. To restore him to righteousness and relationship with the Father, right? Father in parable, loving father, the prodigal son, right? He's always seeking, and he's taking things and uncovering them, And things that he uncovers is usually things we don't want to have uncovered. We want to keep covered up. Oh, wait a minute, God, don't cover that. You're liable to expose something I don't want exposed, right? So... But instead of fighting to receive our inheritance, right, like the kings of the old days, instead of fighting, what do? We seek the lost. Yeah. Well, that's what God did, right? Yeah. We seek the lost. We don't even work on a, quote, inheritance. Mm-hmm. We work on doing God's work. And when we do God's work, we get our inheritance. We get our prosperity. That's what we do, all right? So let's look at a couple of verses. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? Now, we've got whole industries, million-dollar, multi-million-dollar industries, that have made their money by not doing these things, by doing the opposite of these things, right? They focus on doing things that are not true, or focus on all the things that are not true. They focus on things that are not honest. They focus on all things that are, and they make, our newspapers, our news media, they're not focused on these things. They don't report these things, right? They focused on the opposite of them, right? But we're told to focus on these things.
Amen.
Think on these things, right? Focus on these things, okay? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now that seek and that set your minds is the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Put your mind on, seek. It's the same thing, right? So... that's what we do. We set our mind, we seek the things that are above.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
We set our minds on those things, not on what's happening down here on earth, and all the things that so-and-so did and didn't do and all that kind of stuff. Let's focus on what God did and what He is doing.
Amen.
Okay?
The problem is that they do the wrong things and they make money. They make the natural money, but they still have spiritual debt.
Ah, you go. There you go. There you go. That's exactly. We're not giving up anything. Do you know that? We're not giving up anything when we do God's will.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not giving up anything. You know, Peter and John, when they went to the temple to pray, right? And the beggar came to him, you know, right? And he said, he was asking for alms, right? He was asking for money, right? And what does Peter say? He said, silver or gold have I none, right? Well, what does that mean? He doesn't have any money. I mean, you could pat him down, you know. A mugger could get him. He would become away, you know. He wouldn't be happy, right? Because he wasn't carrying around any money, right? But was he prosperous?
Amen.
Of course he was prosperous, right?
But Jesus,
you know,
every need.
It's like I say, you know, Bill Gates doesn't carry around suitcases full of money everywhere he goes. But no one doubts that he's prosperous, right? I mean, if you look at him, his pockets aren't bulging with cash. You know, he wears regular clothes like you and I do. So the prosperity is not what you have in your hand, right? It's what you have access to. Bill Gates has access to much money. Well, you know what? Peter and John had access to a lot, right? But what they needed right then wasn't money. Right? What they really needed right then, they had. Because Peter said, what I have, I give to you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good when you brought in the access. The blood of Jesus gives us access to all of heaven.
Exactly.
Whatever we
need. Exactly. And this is how we access it. We ask, we seek, we knock. We focus on things above. Things that are pure and honest and lovely, right?
That's good. That's good.
Let's go on. Let's see. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. What?
Increasing.
Don't we read the Bible to learn about the Bible?
Yeah.
No, we read the Bible to learn about God, right? I think about it. You know, do we read the Bible to learn about the Bible? No, we read the Bible to learn about God.
Yeah.
We want to know God. We want to know Him. That's communion. We get to know God. We seek the thing, the person who is above, right? We seek Him who is above. Yeah. Like Philip said to Jesus, he said, just show us the Father, we'll be happy. That'll be sufficient for us. Just show us the Father. We got it. Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
We celebrate it this season, right? All right, let's go. Therefore, my brethren, this is Philippians 4:1. Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Uh-huh. Don't stop seeking. Uh-huh. Stay with it. Don't stop asking. Don't stop knocking. Keep seeking the things that are above. Right? Praise the Lord. What else do? We give thanks.
Yes.
Right? Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. Be thankful. Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:12. Inheritance, right there it is. It keeps popping up, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get your inheritance? Give thanks. You've already got your inheritance.
Amen.
It's ours. It's ours. We just need to access it. Well, just give thanks for your inheritance. You got it. That helps you to access your inheritance. Giving thanks. We're told to give thanks again in Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. Mm-hmm. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. First, you start off seeking and asking and knocking, right?
Yeah.
And after you've done that, what do? You give thanks. Because you got it.
You got it.
You got it. Give thanks. Give thanks. Well, after you've given thanks, what?
It's a joke.
Good. I'm glad I got that sand out. David's on it, buddy. There you go, buddy. You rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. We give thanks, and then suddenly that thanks turns into rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, it's so important, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Of course, this is Paul saying this in Philippians 4 through 7, right? Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. You know, it just goes on. They have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's your thanksgiving again. This all gets mixed together. You can't separate them. It just all, when you start getting thankful, you start rejoicing. When you start rejoicing, you start getting thankful. It's all just meshed together.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful little stew, isn't it? Amen. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, there we are. There's the seeking again and asking, right? So it's all meshed together with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Man, it's all mixed in there together. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where do you want your mind? In Christ Jesus, right? We were just talking about whatsoever things are lovely. Set your mind on these things. So it's all meshed together right here. They're all together. They're close neighbors. Right? Brothers and sisters. Right? They're really good. You see that peace in there? People run across the word peace again. Peace. That's nice to have that peace, isn't it? Well, let me ask you to do this for us. Y'all know we've been dealing with some Chinese folks that have come over here to study and to do research and stuff like this. And so we had a little party Monday night, and this was a decorate Christmas cookies type party. Because, you know, they're interested in Christmas and this whole holiday that this Americans have. This is a big, big holiday. What do people do, you know? So we said, well, we're going to have you come over, and we're going to do our cookie decoration. And y'all can all take a part in that. And so we had a bunch of them over, and I made some chili, you know, and we ate chili and rice, because they always have rice. And so we were there, and part of us were decorating cookies, and part of us were talking, and da-da-da-da, and so I was over there, you know, going around and forth, back and forth with them. And I looked over there, and my wife, Muffin, was over there, and she was talking to one of them, just her and him, you know. And so I thought, well, maybe that's good, you know. And so sure enough, a few minutes later, she calls me over, and we get to talking. And this is a fellow raised in an atheist country, okay, taught evolution, da-da-da-da-da. And
taught Hinduism.
What now?
Hinduism and Buddhism.
Yeah, well, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism is all part of the country, all right? The government official teaching is atheism, right? But they have a rich tradition of Hinduism and Buddhism there, okay? You know, the old people go one way or the other usually.
In general,
his family did not do that, right?
Yeah,
his family did not do that. But anyway, he came to her and asked for
peace.
He wasn't peaceful inside. And so we talked to him a little bit, and he wanted to get together with us. Obviously, I was not in the party situation. But he wanted to get with us and learn how it is that we seem to have peace. You know, Muffin seemed to have peace. And he was talking to her, and she says, how do you get your peace? I want your peace. You know? Because he hasn't been happy. He hasn't been happy the last few days, you know, or weeks, whatever. And so we've got it set up. He's coming over this afternoon, okay? Now, I say he's coming over this afternoon. I say that in faith, okay?
Yeah.
Because whenever something like this gets set up, guess who comes against it?
Satan.
Satan, with both barrels, okay? So I would like for y'all to pray with us that this guy will be able to make that appointment, okay? That he will get to our house. Okay, we're actually going to go pick him up and bring him to our house. And just, you know, that we will be able to lead him to peace.
Yes, amen.
The Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes you never know where to start with these folks because they know nothing. They know very little about Jesus. They certainly don't pick it up from our movies and our music that we send over there, you know, and all that. You know, they're not going to pick it up. But just to be able to lead him to the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. So y'all pray with me on that. And we'll end with that. Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy toward us. We thank you that we have all things in you. We've got you, and you've got all things, Jesus. We've got you, and you have all things. We thank you for that inheritance that never fails, never goes away. And Father, we thank you for the peace that we enjoy, that we're not all in turmoil inside like so many people are. And this time of year, it just seems to heighten. So we pray for all people everywhere that need peace. They need a Prince of Peace. But we especially pray for Ron. He may be able to come to a knowledge of the peace that you have, a knowledge of God. And he may be able to walk in that knowledge, Father, and to rejoice with us in the knowledge that you have come, Emmanuel, and you are with us. Father, we pray for our food, that you'll bless it. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you for those that prepare it so well for us. And we ask you to be with all the preachers as they speak today. May they speak your word boldly and confidently, Father. We thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have anything? Well, I had. Okay. All right. Good deal.